As Joe Bridges mentioned Joe Florence's baptism last Sunday, it reminded me of the fact that we practice baptism by immersion. We offer the invitation Sunday morning, Sunday night, as is our custom, and we try to do things in the biblical manner. And in following the New Testament example, that doesn't mean we always have to wait for the invitation. That doesn't mean that we always have to wait for Sundays. As you read the examples of conversion in the New Testament, when they were convicted of sin, they did it right then. And thinking back of the examples in the past, I was thinking last night of a situation where a guy was so convicted of sin in Massachusetts, he wanted to be baptized, and he had waited so long. It was a guy that I was studying with in the Northeast in Massachusetts. He had had cancer of the throat, and he had an open tracheotomy where they couldn't get any water down his throat, and I was concerned about that. And he asked his doctors, and his doctors, of course, being predominantly a Catholic area, they said, just sprinkle a little water there, and that'll be fine. That'll do it. And he said, no, baptism is immersion. He was convicted of that, and he wanted to be immersed, and he told me that. And I was a little overwhelmed at the thought of it. And so a friend of mine who was a doctor for IBM in New York, Steve Haskew, I called Steve and I said, Steve, what do we need to do here? And he said, well, I'll pack up some supplies and I'll come help you. And he did, and Steve showed up, and I trusted Steve. And this guy was a big guy. He was an older guy. And Steve had some supplies, and I was asking Bobby last night to remind me what all we did. And there were several of us in the baptistry, and he had some watertight stuff. And I had forgot this. He had a machine so that if any water got in, that Steve could take care of that too. So quite an event. So I had forgot about that. But for some reason last night it came back to me. But the point I was thinking about is the fact that some people's determination and conviction and stuff, and the perseverance they go through to try to follow the Lord. I was quite impressed with this guy's intent. But that's not what the lesson's about tonight. I was just thinking about that last night, and the fact that I saw Joe catch Larry after the service last week, and I asked Larry. I said, because I thought maybe Larry got him in a headlock or something. Really, I was convinced. I was convinced maybe Larry was wrestling him down. And but you know how Larry is. He's quite persuasive. You know, he can be anyway. You know, but Joe cornered Larry, and I was quite impressed with that. So anyway, that's not the lesson, by the way. I guess you're at this point expecting me to say, "Let's stand and sing," and y'all can go to lunch. No, that's not the way this works. You ain't getting out that quick. I put some things together, so you gotta listen first, so then you can go to lunch. And I don't know where you're going to lunch, but I know where Larry and Barbara's going to lunch. They always go get that cheese and broccoli soup at that place that makes you eat salad, and broccoli is nasty. But you know, that's the one way I can eat broccoli. I tried that. I kept seeing them there, and they kept eating broccoli. Broccoli is nasty. Nasty. But I tried that because they said it was good. And you know what? It is. That's the only way I can eat broccoli, Barbara. That's the only way I will eat broccoli. It's good. How much are you worth? Huh? I needed to hear this, so I put some thoughts together. How much are you worth? How much do you think you are worth? I've seen some faces. Oh. How much money you got? Harry had a dollar, and he lost it before services, and then he found it. And you know what he was told? Put it in your pocket. How much are you worth? What's your current worth? How much are people willing to pay you for your services? What's your hourly rate? When I was working, I knew what my hourly rate was, and I thought, I remember years ago, my grandfather worked for John Deere in Moline, Illinois for over 30 years, and he had retired. And I was a young man, and I went to work as an air traffic controller, and he was dying. My dad told him that I had a good job, and he was dying to know what I made. And I was working in Little Rock as an air traffic controller, and anyway, I'd come up sometimes on the weekend, and my grandfather was, you know, he had been retired from John Deere for a while. Now, my grandfather was not, my dad's dad was not politically correct. I know that's a shock to you. He was an older fella, and he was way old. And anyway, finally one time, he said, "Come here, boy, I want to talk to you." And I know I'm not going to say everything he said because I don't want to shock y'all and I don't want to offend your ears. And he says, I want to know something. He said, "How much you make?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, "How much money you make?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean? You mean how much I make an hour or how much I make a year?" He said, "Well, how often do you get paid?" And I said, "I get paid every other Tuesday." And he said, "Well, how much money they give you every other Tuesday?" And I said, "You mean how much I bring home or how much?" I said, "Because they take out for insurance, they take out for retirement, and I have some allotted for savings, and I have, you know," he says, "I don't care about none of that." He says, "I mean how much money do they give you every other Tuesday? How much money do you get to pay your bills?" And I don't remember what it was exactly at the time. And anyway, I told him. And he said, I ain't going to tell you what he said. Not the exact words. But he said, he looked at me with the funniest look on his face. Now, he had been retired for a while. And he said, "What could you possibly do that would make them give you that kind of money?" And I'm not going to say the words that he said because I do not want to offend your ears. Not that I made that much at the time, but he just, anyway, the point is, what do you make for your services? What's your potential worth? Well, if you look around at all the people that forgot something. I forgot how many people I wrote down here. You're one of 100, and I knew I couldn't read that number. You're one of approximately 108 billion people that have lived on the earth of all time. Did you know that? I wasn't sure how many had ever lived on the earth. 108 billion, that's a bunch. That's by the figure I could find from March of 2019. And by 2023, they say that we will reach the population figure of 8 billion people. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, and all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. The Lord is mindful of us. The Lord cares about us. By comparison, what are we worth? The Lord cares about us. When compared with the power of God, God is mindful of us. When we're compared with the glory of God, when compared with the wisdom of God, what is man? Now, when you think about yourself, when you think about us in a physical realm, our bodies are made up of about 65% oxygen, 18% carbon, and if you go through all those little factors of what our bodies are made up of, and you were to sell them, you come physically to about a dollar. Now, if you were to take your skin and to skin us, we come to about, and you measure cowhide by 25 cents a square foot, our skin would come to about $3.50. That's about $4.50 physically. That's not much, is it? That's not much. You know, we wouldn't even make a good pair of cowboy boots. I've got some good boots made out of ostrich and lizard that would be worth way more than we would. And I've had them for years and years, and you just can't wear them out. And you compare that, and that skin is worth way more than we are. Because that makes them pretty cheap when you consider I've had some of them 20 years and I have them resold and everything. People say, well, those boots are expensive. They're not, considering how long they last and you have them resold. But now if you were to sell various body parts out on the black market, my brother gave away a kidney and I was joking with him. We could sell other body parts. He and I could go into business. And we could sell body parts, and we can make a lot of money. If you could sell your eyes, you only need one eye, by the way. If you could sell your eyes, that'd be about $1,500. If you could sell your scalp, that'd be about $600. Some of us probably less. I probably couldn't get that much for mine. But your skull and your teeth, about $1,200. And there's 1.5 million tissue transplants that take place every year. Organs, blood transfusion, bone marrow, things like that. Your potential worth, you know how much you're worth? $45 million. But you know what? You kind of need those right now, don't you? The point I'm trying to make is you're valuable. You are valuable. But you know what? Even if you could sell those body parts, you're more valuable to God. Probably more valuable to yourself. You know what the evolutionist says about how valuable you are? He don't care about you. He says you're just an accident. He don't believe in God. He says you're just an accident. The fact that all your body has come together and it works so good the way it does, oh, that's just an accident. God didn't plan that. The materialist, he says you're just temporary living matter. And when you die, you're just like Rover. You're dead all over. You just go back to dust, and that's it. It's all over. To the ecologist, you know what you are? You are a threat to the environment. You are a polluter. You are a polluter. You get in your car when we're done. Nobody walked here. We drove our cars. And nobody drove an electric car. We all drove gas cars. And even if you drove an electric car, did you know what runs the electricity? You need coal for those generators to make electricity. I think some of the green people forget it's coal that makes our electricity. And coal is nasty. Nasty. To the industrialist, you know what you are? You are a cog in the machine. To the government, you are a taxpayer. That's what you're good for. Send those taxes. They don't care about you. To the politician, you are a vote. You must send your vote. You must vote their way. To the businessman, they want your money. They want your money. To the fundraiser, They want your money. You need to contribute. You are valuable to your country. You're valuable to society. You're valuable to organizations. But you know what? You're valuable to your friends, to your family. You're measured by your financial contributions. Do they care about you personally? Who cares about you personally? Who does? Who really cares whether you live or die? Does anybody care whether you live or die? Very few people care about whether you live or die. Will they miss you when you're gone? Will they? Will they just miss your money? Will they fight over what you leave them? What about your labor, your time, your energy, your skill, your abilities? I saw Joe mentioned several things in class today. He saw on Facebook. I think I'm waiting to see the little thing that, he saw several things that are little sayings, I guess that's what you say. I see all these sayings on Facebook, I'm waiting to see the one I got all my knowledge on Facebook. And I do. I got to admit, I enjoy reading some of the little sayings that you see on Facebook. And I'm waiting to see the one that says, I got all my knowledge or I learned everything I know on Facebook. Because you do see some of that stuff. And you think, that's true. Or you think that's funny. And I do. I've got to admit, some of that is kind of funny. But are you measured by your moral influence? Lately, Larry's preached some very good sermons that talk about our moral influence. People look at you, whether you like it or not. They judge the church. They judge Jesus. They decide whether or not they want to be a Christian based upon your actions and the things that you do, based on the sermon that you preach. They look at you and they make decisions based upon your life. You preach a sermon by the things that you do. And some of the sermons that he's had here lately, they make decisions based upon your conduct. Philippians, Paul talked about, he says, for I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you, and be in confidence, I know I'll remain and continue with you for your progress and joy in the faith, that your rejoicing for me may be abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. And he's talking about the fact that he wants to depart and be with Christ rather than stay. And he talks about, we've talked about the fact that what's our value as human beings? As a husband, as a wife, or as a father, or as a mother, or as a church member, what do we value our role as a church member, a community member? How is this measured? What is our Christ likeness? What is our holiness, our faith and faithfulness, our humility, our loyalty to Christ, our knowledge, our love and service and service to others. Job said something that I thought was extremely, extremely good. He says, what is man? And this was his outpouring of his soul to God. He said, what is man? And this is almost a philosophical question that he asked that each and every person could say. What is man that you should exalt him, that you should set your heart on him, that you should visit him every morning? And notice this, and he says, and test him every moment. Is not this life nothing but more than a test for eternity? When you think about the fact, your 80 years here on earth is nothing more than a test for eternity. Think about the time that eternity is compared with 80 years. We tend to think of our life on earth as being a long period of time. What is 80 years compared to eternity? Is it nothing more than a grain of sand on a beach full of sand? Is Job not exactly right when he talks about the fact that God tests us every moment in this life? How many of y'all been to the beach? Panama City or Destin or someplace down by Florida, someplace. Have you ever just dug your hand in the sand and thought about how many granules of sand that you were holding? If every one of those particles of sand stood for your life, and it was 80 years, and you lived 80 years, some of us never make it to 80 years. I'm 64, and sometimes I don't think I'm going to make 65, but that's just laziness. I don't know. But if the point is, if that 80 years is that granule of sand and eternity is represented by all the rest of that sand on that beach, did you know that beach, we could compare that beach with every beach on the earth, and you know what? That still would not be eternity. That makes eternity a long time. A long time. And you know what? If we wake up the first day of eternity after our 80 years is over and we're in hell, you know what we've got to look forward to? Eternity. Oh my goodness. And if hell is as bad as they say, I don't want to go. Eternity is a long time. And if this is just a test, I sure hope we all pass. Don't you? Psalm 8. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? The Bible says we are made in God's image. Well, you know what? God sure is ugly, isn't he? No, we're not talking about physically. God doesn't look like us because as I look out here, every one of us look different. He doesn't look like this. He's talking about spiritually. He has a soul. We have a soul. We're talking about spiritually. We look like he's made with a soul for eternity. We're higher than the animals. The body is a tent in which we dwell for just a little while. The Bible says it's a tent. There's the passages, we don't have time to read them, but you're welcome to do so. Our spirits will continue to exist after death for eternity. For eternity. We'll be raised and judged, and we will spend eternity in one place or another. And our problem is sin unless it's dealt with. We're worth more than sparrows, but yet the Bible says God cares about sparrows. You know those birds that get up on top of my house and fly over me when I'm sitting out in a lawn chair and act like they want to run over me? He cares about them sparrows. And why does he care about them sparrows? I do not know, but the Bible says he does. I can't believe he cares about those birds that fly over me and make a mess in my yard and on my deck and on my in my backyard, but the Bible says he does. I think that's maybe just a cliche, but if the Bible says he cares about them, but he cares about us a lot more than those birds. I don't think he's a bird watcher, but the Bible says he is. I'm just being funny. Y'all didn't laugh. That was supposed to be funny. He cares about sheep. Y'all eat sheep? But he cares about us more. The Bible says that. We're worth more than an ox or a donkey, but the Bible says he cares about them too. And you know, oxes and donkeys, you know, I like them. I mean, you know, they kind of taste like pork. Well, a couple of you smiled. That's kind of what I meant. God has shown how much he cares for mankind. For God so loved the world. You know the verse. I like this verse. God demonstrates his own love. I like it when people demonstrate things. I like it. He demonstrates his love. run out of time again because I just start talking and I can't stop. There are some other verses, and I'm running out of time. He demonstrates His own love for us. How much are you worth? What would you give in exchange for your soul? You know, we laugh about some of the music and stuff like that. Charlie Daniels has that song. The devil went down to Georgia, you know, and that guy, he's going to swap his soul for the fiddle. And Johnny, play that fiddle. And you know, it's kind of funny. I can't really think of the words right now. You know, I need Charlie Daniels. Saw it on that fiddle and played it. And Melissa's singing it right now. There she goes, playing that fiddle. And anyway. But anyway, you know, he's trying to swap a fiddle for this guy's soul, and we kind of get into it, you know. Mark probably knows the song. He can probably play it on the fiddle, can't you, Mark? Play the fiddle? No, you don't play the fiddle. Anyway, we just kind of get into that, you know, that guy swapping his soul. But you know, that's what people do. They change. They're willing to swap their soul for things. You know what? They do that. They do that. People, you think, no, they don't really make a deal with it. No, they don't make a deal with the devil. You know, there's movies about that stuff. But in reality, they do kind of do that, don't they? You know, they do in their own way. They give up church. They give up Christianity. And they pursue those earthly pleasures instead of that other stuff. That's making a deal with the devil, isn't it? They trade their job for that. I mean, they pursue their job. Some do it for golf. I've got an old friend of mine that's making me play golf, but not on Sundays. And I told him, you know, no golf on Sundays. I let him laugh at me occasionally through the week. I've played golf one time in the last 5 years. It was a couple Mondays ago. And he's trying to get me to play golf tomorrow. I don't know if he's going to be successful or not. There's only so much ridicule a body can take. You know? And I'm almost to my limit. I played golf one time in the last 5 years. And he's trying to get me to go tomorrow, and I don't know if I can take it or not. There's only so much ridicule a person can stand. But the point is, people trade their souls for things, and they do that. How much are you worth? You know, we buy life insurance, and I joke about this. I want to be worth more alive than dead. You know it? That's a joke. Okay, I'm being funny there too. But you know, we buy life insurance, don't we? Don't most of y'all have life insurance? You got, you know, that little $2. You go to work somewhere, oh, for only $2, you can have life insurance if somebody, you know, comes in and they come in with a bow and arrow, and then they stand on their head and they gargle peanut butter, that you could collect $25 if somebody kills you that way. You know, don't you get that through your work? You know, they've got to be right in that situation, you know, where they do that in those strange conditions where you collect a whole $50 for your life. Okay. Then you say, well, yeah, sign me up for that quarter policy. Then you pay 25 cents every payday for the next 30 years when you work there. You get that, you know, little policy. And so that you buy life insurance. But yet, we fail to buy spiritual insurance. The Bible says we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We confess Him before men, just like Joe did last week. We repent of our sins. We're baptized in the name of Jesus. And we live for Jesus. And you know, that's one of the things we forget sometimes. And we need to stress that. We baptize someone. We put them under the water, and they hit the door running, and we forget. You live for Jesus, because just because you're baptized, that doesn't seal the deal. That doesn't seal the deal. There's other passages that talk about living for Jesus. Doesn't mean you've arrived. Doesn't mean the deal is closed. And I tell you what, There are people that as soon as the water, the water has, you've come up from the water hasn't dried, but they hit the door running and you ain't seen them. And the point is, it don't matter how many times you're baptized. It don't matter. There is no life for Jesus. So you can be baptized every day of the week, and if you don't live for Jesus, you are wasting your time. But, you know, there's churches out there that teach once saved, always saved. It don't matter what I do. I can go out there and stand on my head and gargle peanut butter and sin with the best of them. And I am saved. Okay, go to those churches. Because you can do anything you want. You can live the hedonistic Epicurean lifestyle and they tell you you're saved and you can stand before God and see how He does it. You can see what He says. I choose not to. I ain't playing that game. You can share those passages and that lifestyle with the Lord because I don't choose to. Because that's not the Bible I read. You know, that's between you and the Lord. But I ain't going to share those scriptures with Him and hope it works out okay. You can share those passages with Him, okay? They're not in my Bible. I've never read them. You know, I've taken enough of your time. I wanted to share this lesson with you. How much are you worth? Have you bought spiritual life insurance? You need to. You need to. It's good stuff. If you need to respond to the invitation, the lesson's yours as we stand and sing.